I met a gypsy.
Yeah. Is with all the technique involved in what we do now and how we all teach this technique stuff, that the Lawrences have pushed us to. They've pushed us to that level. Those young guys can learn how to do Supercross at a faster pace than they can anywhere else because they're out there with the same trainers as those pro guys have. And, you know, the whoops are always a problem for everybody coming into Supercross and not so much with us.
There's a, it's an expectation that you skim the whoops at Star Racing. Is that correct?
Ace Hayden.
Hey?
Ace Hayden that question. It's the only time that he and I have ever almost come to blows was about that. And Cole Davies was sitting there. I mean, that was an intense deal. Not putting up with this shit, Hayden. You can't do it. I'm not, if you jump another damn whoop, brain, I'm not putting up with it. And he'll tell you. And Cole Davies was sitting there, and Cole Davies, so I said something else to him, and he said to Cole Davies, he said, I will never jump a whoop. And he never has.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, eh? Even, yeah, when we were there, that's when I learned that that's a thing. But, yeah, you just, if you're a Star Racing rider, you have to skim the whoops.
Cooper's had a... Cooper's had a hard time with that.
Oh, man, which one?
Well, both of them, though. Yeah. But they trained, you know, and that, I didn't really agree with putting Hayden out there watching people jump the whoops. I didn't like that, and I didn't put up with it very long. So Cooper still wants to do it some, but he doesn't need to. And Justin Cooper, as fast as that guy is, if he would quit, he'd start winning motos.
It is a – we've been talking about it recently. We're like, I wonder what happens if you just delete whoops out of a Supercross track. Justin Cooper's probably one of the fastest guys in the, on the planet, like every single race.
Well, in motocross, on a 250, he was the fastest guy most of the time.
Yeah.
And what happened to him in Supercross – The first race he ever ran for us, so there was a there was a set of whoops after a bowl turn. The turn was really close to the first whoop. So I told him, I said, do not turn into those whoops quickly. Rail the turn and where you can have enough speed that you can go through them. You're a beginning rider. Well, he didn't do it. He turned right. He turned short into him, and the third whoop, he started endoing, and I don't know how many ribs did he break. I mean, it like a lot.
All right, so you think that's where a bit of
it was for sure. He's still petrified because of that crash. Now, that crash was a horrible thing. He was out for a while.
Do you remember that crash? Remember where that was?
It was one. It was his first race doing it, and I don't.
Was it East or West?
I don't know.
Because man, if he could figure it out, like he's unbelievable. Unbelievable starts.
Well, the first race, so I hired him, you know, and he came to us as an older guy, and. We were at Unadilla's, his first race that he was with us, and he gets first or second in that first moto. Anyway, whatever it was, first or second at Unadilla. I took him and put him into I built a place for him. No journalist allowed, nobody allowed with this guy because this guy's special. He absolutely motocross, unbelievable guy, always the fastest guy at a track.
Do you think that they should the rules about 250 guys having to go to 450, is that a good rule? Because, you know, there's some guys that they just can't, that the career's not quite the same on a 450. Not specifically saying Justin Cooper, but, you know, maybe there's some guys that just can never get back to that level. Like, they're both professional classes. Like, should they be forced to go up like that?
Well, I think it's all about money. It's probably not, but it's the promoters want to maximize the amount of money they get, and they've got to move people up into that 450 class. Otherwise, nobody would go up there and want to compete with Tomac. You just wouldn't migrate to that class unless for you would be slower getting there if it wasn't like it is now.
So you spoke about Cole before. What did you think when you saw him ride the whoops for the first time? Were you just like, wow?
Well, what now? Let me tell you what happened with him. So we were at Salt Lake, and I needed a young rider. And so I told Loretta, I said, you want to go with me? I'm going to be up in the stands all day. So I'm watching all these young guys. And so she went with me. And so I watched during the day, and I said, you see that number 18 kid down there? She said, so I said, he's going to be our rider. And the reason for that, I watched him jump in the whoops. And somebody said something to him. The next set of laps, he blitzed them. And I saw him do it so easy. I said, this guy's unbelievable. It was all about his ability to go through the whoops. He was jumping at first, and he quit doing it. And, you know, we hired him, and there was no other team really after him. How do you do that?
So KTM and that weren't after him?
No, he was with Will Hahn.
With Will, a gas guy.
But we went after him really hard. Really hard kid to get to. I mean, he was from New Zealand and just didn't operate like an American kid.
Mm.
But now he fits in really good, and he's going to be a great rider.
He's special.
Well, another thing that nobody knows, Colleen Millsaps. Do you know Little Brian Johnson?
A little bit.
Little Brian Johnson was in one of my first teams.
Really?
Yep.
He's the trainer at Millsaps.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so was Davalos.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
and Davalos were. And then we were out here in California, and but with Colleen, she's always been such a positive thing for us. And if we needed to go there and run on her track, she's really a great person, and great motocross lady.
Mm.
They do really good things over there.
And they're so close now, like in terms of proximity between where the farm is versus yeah. where they are. It's like a couple miles, you know.
Yeah, so Brian was, he was there with us as a racer. And it has taken that skill over to them. And so they have a really, really real pro rider out there helping those kids.
Mm. So to go back to Cole before I forget. It's funny with him, right? So, rookie season. I mean, I say one of the best rookie seasons ever, really, because when you look at the level of the competition, and I mean, Hayden could have gone to a 450 this year and been ready to race. Hayden could have raced A1 tomorrow and been ready, right? And Cole beat that guy multiple times in his rookie season. Do you think that, I mean, I guess he did get the credit, but it's pretty unbelievable that he could do what he did from where he did it from in his first year, right?
Absolutely. Well, you know somebody else that can do that?
Who?
I don't know. I don't know them. I want you to tell me who they are. But why wasn't everybody out there trying to get him?
Mm.
I never did understand that. Well, I told Loretta that 18 kids going to ride first, and so he comes in there and starts doing Supercross. And you know those at the that year when they were jumping so far, like I don't know whether Cole's going to do that or not. First lap, jumping out there 50 yards or whatever how far it was, he's going to be a good rider.
Yeah, and it's funny. So he spent a lot of time with Ben Townley training back in New Zealand. And BT's got two kids. I don't know if you know about...
I do.
You know about his two kids? So they're unreal. Just amazing talent. And two very different personalities, but both just very, very, very talented and very hardworking. And it's funny, like Ben's got his... We got to go to Europe. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to do this. And I'm like, you realize that you... created the new roadmap for these riders. Get your kids in the backyard in the same way that you got Cole Davies in your backyard and make sure that at Supercross Futures they can slam the whoops.
I don't know why.
That's it.
They don't have Supercross over there, you know?
Crazy.
He's come in and helped us many times, especially with technique.
Mm.
And a great technique teacher.
Oh, he's incredible. But yeah, he created the new roadmap.
Absolutely.
Without even knowing it. And I'm like, man, don't bother taking the kids to Europe. Don't bother with all that shit. Just stay in the yard and hit the loops.
Why does he do that?
I don't know. He thinks he has to, I guess.
Oh, he doesn't have to.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, dude, just get him going in the loops. Like you got Colin. Everything else would be just fine.
Well, you know, when when he was racing here and had a successful career, I didn't know him very good. I didn't know him good enough to even speak to him, really. But I would be in the hotels, and he was always such a nice guy. I mean, he just had a group of people that hung around him, and he just appeared to be a real nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But... and he's a great rider.
Yeah. Great rider. And he is a very nice dude to this day. But yeah, I hope the boys end up coming over here, and I hope they do big things because they're just two super cool kids.
How old are they?
How, what, 12 and 14? Yeah, 12 and 15. Yeah. And just awesome kids. Like, it'd just be so cool.
Well, they should be over here doing the Minios, you know, and Loretta's.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think they spent the last year in Europe doing that. But Levi got hurt, the older one. He broke his leg. So he had a bit of a season off, essentially.
Oh, femur break?
I think it was his ankle or something. But I just think it was one of those ones that it just took a while to kind of heal. But Jagger, the younger one, he raced all the Australian Supercross races, but he's like the young kid in the age group, you know. They're actually the crazy kid. In Australia. What's his name? Blake Bohannon. Pull up. Is there any videos of this? Let's talent scout right now. This kid's actually a freak. I do know the next kid. There we go. Let's watch. Is this Supercross? You need to watch this kid, right? This is actually a trip.
Now, is that at Loretta's?
No, this is in Australia. Watch this kid. This is his first year on an 85 in Supercross. First round of Supercross on an 85 Australian Championship wins it. Oh, that's it. Man, you got to watch that kid ride. We need to get you some tape of him. He's a freak, bro.
Well, does he ever come over here?
I don't know.
Yeah, so he came and raced the MX of Nations on the Yamaha.
Ah.
He pulled the whole shot and then crashed, and I think he still ended up third or second on the 85.
Yeah, okay. But he's like, he's a supercross kid. Like he, when you watch him ride supercross, man, it is just unbelievable. Well, you would never think that a kid that just got off a 65.
Need to bring him over and I need to send him down to start and let him come out there and ride some of our tracks.
Yeah, because I think he's like 12, right? He's like, it's his first year on a, he went from 65 to 85. And then he won almost every supercross race. The same that they raced at the same as the big bikes. He won almost every race. Unbelievable.
Townley working with him?
No, I think he just does his own thing, eh? Or I'm sure he's got coaches and stuff, but yeah, he's just a young little ripper. Yamaha supports him in Australia, but yeah, unbelievable. I do have the next kid for you. Is there anything that we're missing? Is there anything that you think people should know? That maybe they don't know about Star Racing, maybe they don't know about you and your life and I guess what kind of led to this incredible thing that you guys have created over the last 20 years?
Well, it's with me, it's all about passion, not money. I've never put a penny, the sponsored money that comes into our team in my pocket. And I don't have any children, and those kids have absolutely filled my life without having kids into probably maybe even better than me having kids because they're all gifted athletes and I am extremely close to them. And I wouldn't do anything else if I had to do it over again.
Mm. You're a special dude.
Oh, well.
Thank you. It's cool. You know, what you and Loretta have done, you guys changed the sport, you know. And there's a lot of people that have had big impacts on the sport for sure. But you're one of them. You know,
thank you.
You've created something very special. You've created an environment for people to achieve their best and to achieve their dreams, and you've created an environment that, you know, someone like I can go there and be like welcomed and feel sure. Like you can feel the positivity and you can feel how important that this thing is to people, and that's very hard to create when you've got a big organization with a lot of money and a lot on the line to be able to have that kind of culture. That's not
they might not feel like that all the time.
They do. I know they do.
You know, I don't know whether you know this, but I'm going to save something about it. We had to go to an awards banquet 3 or 4 weeks ago in Atlanta. It was a gathering of Yamaha people from all over the United States. And so they wanted me to come. And so... There were very limited seating there, but I had the first seat, and Loretta had the second seat, and Hayden had the next seat next to her. And so they got to me last. And so I went up there, and I told those Yamaha people, I said, you know, you're looking at the future for Yamaha racing here. I got young guys on this team. We're going to continue to win championships. And we hope it helps you in marketing and selling these bikes because these are the best bikes made. So they handed me this thing. It was I didn't know what it was. said, you know, we want to give this to you. And it was a Hall of Fame entry. So I didn't know what it was. You weren't there. But I didn't know what it was. So Loretta and I left, and I had this thing with me. So I threw it up on the dash of the rental car. Drove back down to the airport there in Atlanta and left it in the car. Hall of Fame. So, so Keith McCarty called me the next day and he said, I heard you got in the Hall of Fame. And I said, I didn't know that's what it was. I said, I had to retire. And here you are, you're not retired. I said, no, not. I said, I sure appreciate it, Keith. But I'm going to end it on that a positive thing.
If you enjoyed this content, please like and subscribe. And to listen to the full 3-hour podcast, search Gypsy Tales in your favorite podcast platform or click the link in the description below. Gypsy Gang.